Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining the show now, if you are a fan of sports radio, you are certainly familiar with his work. Matt Spiegel from 670 The Score joins the show. Matt, how are you doing today?
I am delightful. I'll be up there later on this afternoon. Spiegel and Holmes doing our show from 2 to 6 up there at the Brat Stop. I love this opportunity to hang out in advance of the Bears finally beating Matt LaFleur on Sunday.
Whoa. Matt coming in hot. This is Mason Crosby. I was going to ask you, that was going to be my first question. How are y'all feeling down there in Chicagoland? And apparently you're very optimistic. Tell me your feelings about this Bears team and this game coming up on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. No, make no mistake, Mason. We're in a horrible place, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, a lot of us physically for other reasons, but whatever. You guys own us. Aaron is gone. We, especially me, I love seeing him struggle with the Jets. It is just an absolute joy to see him terrible with the Jets. But, our season has descended into awfulness and chaos, and our coach is a useless public speaker whose authority is clearly almost non-existent with his players, and we have 8 games to go. We're hoping for an offensive coordinator bump, and I do have some optimism about this particular game, but I'm not going to lie. Part of it is because I proclaimed it several weeks ago when the Bears were going well that this was going to be the year where they vanquished Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur and swept the Packers. And because it was a proclamation, I have to hold on to it. And I have found a way to be positive about this particular matchup, and I have my reasons. But make no mistake, Bears fans are in a disgusted and horrible place. We do get it revved up for the Packers, which is one of the joys of Bears fandom, and I refuse to have that taken away from us.
Matt, I feel you, and I love that you're sticking to your guns. I love that you made the proclamation, and I agree. The Bears looked like they were a team that was moving up. You know, we're talking NFC North is unbeatable. Everybody's playing great, and then the Bears started laying eggs. It was just like it hit them with the Commanders on that Hail Mary, and then they just haven't found their way. It's like they got hung up on the devastation of that moment, and it's just really affected them these last couple of weeks. But that is my question. So, with Eberflus,
Mason, can I ask you as a player? Because you're absolutely right. And what was fascinating about the aftermath of that Hail Mary was that the coach didn't own it and wasn't like honest about what he could have done in terms of possibly calling a timeout before that play. or having the corners up in press coverage on the play before it. He didn't own it on the Sunday. He didn't own it on the Monday morning. And it was all over the news in a different way for those next couple of days. And then all the players came out and admitted some things that could have happened differently from their perspective and from the coach's perspective. And the coach still didn't own it. So that inability to point a thumb and be accountable and just be like a normal, rational human as a coach seems to have really damaged them. That whole week seems to have damaged them more than the Hail Mary, which just kind of exposed the problems. Can you relate to that as a player? Like, a coach needs to be accountable, doesn't he, for his players to trust him and still want to play hard for him? That's what we haven't seen here.
No doubt. And I think, yeah, you said a lot of things there. And I think that, yeah, that kind of pointing fingers and everybody just, you know, really almost diving into it too deep. Like, like Eberflus needs to just say, like, hey, you know, that's on us. We need to be in the right position, need to coach these guys up on how to defend that, and we're going to move on to the next week. Whenever you linger on a crazy moment like that, you know, bad things happen. I mean, we had a moment like that with the Packers against Seattle, you know, the Fail Mary with the refs and all of those things. And that, I feel like that, you know, lingered for a moment, but I also think, you know, we kind of just said, oh my gosh, this was a disaster. It's a horrible situation. And then you move on to the next, you know, the next game, the next week, the next opponent. I think this Bears team, and again, Eberflus grabbing at straws, you know, firing his offensive coordinator, doing these things, like, you can feel that there's a lot of trying to save jobs, you know, say and do the things where it looks like we're making movement, but it feels like this Bears team is definitely searching and trying to find something and maybe pointing fingers where they shouldn't be. So it's interesting. But are you optimistic about this offensive coordinator change? Is there like a little bit of a hope and optimism with a shift, at least in some sort of fashion there in Chicagoland?
There is, from my perspective. Thomas Brown is a really visceral, good communicator. He's a guy that Sean McVay identified as a future head coach a long time ago. So we made him his assistant head coach, made him a tight ends coach in that system, which is a big precursor to offensive coordinator. And so just from a communication perspective, that's going to be a lot better. Maybe some straight talk for Caleb Williams, who could use it, who I think came in a little bit too anointed, and the organization kind of kowtowed to him a little bit too much. And Shane Waldron, as Keenan Allen just flat out said this week, too nice of a guy and didn't get on everybody about the details, from the oldest to the youngest, as Mercedes Lewis put it a few weeks back when they kind of corrected Shane Waldron on not having a first 15, which was a crazy, crazy thing. So there'll be a level of organization and a level of direct communication and honesty, which hasn't been there. But also, Thomas Brown is a former running back and a running backs coach. And the Bears should do what they should have done from the get-go, which we just saw the Patriots do for a young quarterback, which we've seen the Commanders do for a young quarterback, which we've seen so many teams do for a young quarterback. Run the damn ball. Commit to the run and really lean on it. And I think the Bears are finally going to do that. And they're going to have play action based out of plays that look like the run plays, which frankly wasn't happening with Waldron. And maybe they'll cut the field in half, simplify some things for Caleb, have him get the ball out quicker. Some of the basic stuff you do for a rookie quarterback. And what I thought this was going to look like, guys, was Tom Brady in the first couple years when the Patriots just ran it with Antoine Smith over and over. And eventually he turned into explosive Tom Brady. Or look at Big Ben Roethlisberger's numbers the first 2 years for him in Pittsburgh, when they ran the ball like crazy before he eventually got comfortable.
For sure.
You know, you guys have it down there where you sit a quarterback for a year or two behind a Hall of Famer and then they learn how to do it. If you're going to play them.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Them right away. Don't ask too much of them. And they really thought that Caleb was ready to be dropped into the deep end of the pool, and it was disastrous. So I'm hoping a simplification, while overdue, is gonna have a benefit. And you know how it works. You run the ball, you give your offensive line an opportunity to feel like they have an identity, feel like they have some confidence, get a lather going. That could do good things for the Bears.
Matt Spiegel joining us on the Mason Crosby Show with me, Mitch Thundernellis. Matt's on every day, 2 to 6 on 670, The Score, the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Matt, with the change, or regardless of the change, what are the current thoughts in Chicago about Caleb Williams? And have those thoughts changed at all, and how have they developed throughout this season?
Yeah, you know, it's been a really interesting thing. Caleb, as a player, has a remarkable skill set, and there's still no doubt in my mind, and I think in most people's mind, that he has everything he needs to be a really, really good quarterback in the NFL. The one skill that is a bit of an issue to me, and I think to others, he doesn't have the escapability he thinks he has. It doesn't work at the NFL level like it did on the college level. There are times where he holds the ball too long and then assumes he's going to be able to back out of the pocket or take one step and get away and create. And these guys are just too fast and too quick. So he's learning that clock a little bit in that way. Like, he's really more, in terms of quickness and movability, he's more like Big Ben or like Dak Prescott than he is like Jaden Daniels or Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? And certainly not Justin Fields.
I agree with you on that.
But he's got such a great arm. He's a beautiful thrower of the football, and he can be accurate. The thing is, he has looked a little nervous and a little rattled and inaccurate, and that is not something anybody expected. And because he said flat out on Hard Knocks in training camp, "I don't get nervous," It becomes a thing where you're like, oh boy, there's a very presentational side to Caleb. There's a very like prepared and polished way that which he presents, which is really good and strong, and he says all the right things. But it feels a little presentational is all. So people are starting to wonder, you know, is he actually talking with a coach? He needs a coach who's really going to talk to them about, what do you not do well? Because I think he's the guy who says, yep, I can do that. Yep, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. You got it. I can do that. And sometimes it takes a little more humility to be like, you know what? I'm struggling with that yet. Can we take that out? Let's just do this, you know, that kind of self-awareness. And I think he's always been a fake it till you make it guy. And at a certain point, you got to stop and be very, very real with yourself. And I think that's part of the process that needs to happen here during his rookie year.
That's a really good take, and we had Kurt Benkert on, former Packers quarterback, and kind of he's developing his foundations of being a quarterback and what that looks like, and kind of teaches the game through Madden and different things, and he talked about that as well. It was like, Caleb Williams needs to be in an offense, and they need to run plays that Caleb Williams is really good at. And I think, you know, like you said, running the football, it all starts with that. Even if you're not overly effective with it, you have to establish a run game so that he can have play action. He can have things where he can get out of the pocket, have clear vision, hit targets that are there. I think that they were asking, like you said, too much of him early on because he is confident, because of the way he approaches the game. But with experience, being a professional is exactly what you said, is acknowledging your strengths, your weaknesses, what you are really capable of doing. I mean, Tom Brady was the, you know, quintessential at that, was just like, I'm really good at this. I am not mobile. I'm not going to do these things. Yep. I'm going to stand tall. I'm going to check down whenever possible. When I have Randy Moss, I'm going to be able to air it out. But other than that, we're going to run the ball, play good defense, and I'm going to manage this game the right way. And true professionals take that step. Obviously, they threw Caleb Williams into the deep end, gave him, you know, just gave him a full playbook. You can do everything. He's very confident, thinks he can do everything, and it's kind of backfired here, especially these last 3 weeks with that approach. So,
and
you know,
I think all over the league, Mason. I think it happens all over.
It happens all the time whenever you put a rookie quarterback in that you have high hopes for, and that is very skilled, talent wise, and confident. Yeah, like. These guys get messed up early on if they're thrown into the fire too quick.
Yeah, and I think Ryan Poles and Shane Waldron believed that he could do everything. I mean, when they played the Rams and Matthew Stafford, we saw a veteran quarterback controlling the line of scrimmage and changing, you know, every play at the line of scrimmage based on what he saw. That's what they've asked Caleb to do. That's what they've asked Caleb to do. What we saw Brady do with Bruce Arians in Tampa. You know, like, oh, let me go up. Oh, there's seven. There's eight in the box. Okay, then I'll do this. I'll do that instead. They're asking Caleb to do that. And I think it's just too damn much. So hopefully we get a simplification, and that could mean good things overall. Because there's talent here. There's a lot of talent.
Oh, yeah. Well, and y'all's defense is really solid down there in Chicago, and, you know, have been kind of trying to keep you in games. Yeah, I agree with you. That takes time, and that takes the right balance to be able to do those things. Not just anyone can't just come out of college and be able to just run an offense and get all the nuances that a coordinator is trying to throw out there. And it seems like apparently the communication has been a huge issue, and you're seeing that, and you've said it from the beginning. It starts at the top with Eberflus. He's obviously not a great communicator. He's not giving them all the stuff they need to go out and feel confident. And someone said that Thomas Brown and Caleb Williams actually don't like talk all the time, which is blows my mind that he's the passing game coordinator. So you got a guy stepping in that like maybe isn't always in Caleb Williams' ear. Have you heard that? Is that something that's going on down there? That are they in communication prior to this shift, or are they just kind of learning on the fly as they're moving into this new week?
Thomas Brown has been in all the offensive meeting rooms, but in terms of talking directly, they have decided to limit the voices to Caleb. So it's been Shane Waldron and the quarterback coach, Kerry Joseph, for the most part. And now Thomas Brown has taken over. He's going to call plays from the booth upstairs. Kerry Joseph will still be the voice in Caleb's ear on the sidelines. Okay. But look, here's the thing. Passing game coordinator. This is new, guys. This is like, what, 3 years? It's like a way to stash extra coaches and to bring in extra people. I'm not sure I know exactly what the hell that job does, because I thought it was directly with the quarterback, but now we're finding out. So what, has he been working with the wide receivers? Has he just been an assistant for the offensive coordinator? Like, and their route trees have been trash. Like, Keenan Allen's average depth of target is the longest of his career, is the deepest of his career. He's 32 years old with a bad foot, and he has the deepest average depth of target of his career. DJ Moore's is the shortest of his career, or one of the shortest of his career. He's been running all these little bubble screens and these little like weird ass screens. It's like. So I think Shane Waldron had a very poor idea of how to use these wide receivers, and hopefully that's something that Thomas Brown will change as well.
Well, shifting gears just a little bit before we have to head out and get on a break here, I just want to – we asked it yesterday, and whenever you think of this Packers-Bears rivalry, what players stand out on the Packers side, you know, either on the field or personality-wise, that Bears fans just love to hate?
Oh, such a good question, because I was thinking about that, because with Aaron gone, like, can we unite in maybe not you, Mason, but can Packers fans unite with me, in enjoying Aaron struggling?
Yeah, I'm not going to jump on that one with you. I'm not jumping on that one with you.
Matt, I will take that one. Absolutely. Not all Packers fans, because there is some loyalty there, but there is a large percentage of Packer fans that are also enjoying everything that's going on with our New York football Jets right now.
Good, good. Because
not me, not Mason Crosby. Do not lump me into that.
Slow your roll, kicker.
Yeah, I love it. But the dude held the team hostage for multiple off seasons and refused to meet with wide receivers and just wanted them to understand his weird hieroglyphics. I mean, my God, what a bag.
Dude.
Yeah, okay, I understand. There's not a lot. I mean, Jordan Love seems to be pretty cool. I hope he puts the ball into harm's way a few times like he seems to do every game. But the guy that I love, that I'm enjoying hating, and I know that some Bears fans do, and I know that some Bears players do, is Jair Alexander. That man is a gambler. He's a gambler, and I hope he gets beat by gambling too much. and he anointing yourself a fake captain is just, that is next level. Going out there for the handshake and making yourself a fake captain and having to be suspended by your own coach, that is a guy we really enjoy hating. But I mean, but other than that, man, I don't know. Seems to be a likable bunch. I can't even hate on Xavier McKinney for talking trash on DJ Moore, because we're not too happy with DJ Moore either, frankly.
So we need to get this. Yeah, I think we got to bring this rivalry back to what it was in the glory days, when it was a tension filled, back and forth. Like again, in recent history, this hasn't been much of a rivalry. Obviously, Matt LaFleur has just gone off the rails and, beating the Bears. Like, when I was there, I think my record, we said, was 25-7, and some of those games were, earlier in my career. Like, I had a pretty good run against the Bears. So we kind of flipped the script on this rivalry. And I think the hope, because it's such a historical great rivalry, is that these teams get back to both winning forms and can battle it out, because it just adds to that storyline and the history of what this is.
Couldn't agree more. But right now,
nicely said.
It's like the old Red Sox Yankees rivalry before 2004. It's a hammer and a nail right now. is what it is, and it's no fun at all.
Awesome. Well, hey, really appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for jumping on. Have fun when you get to the Broad Stop this afternoon.
Be nice to Sparky.
Be kind. Yep. No fighting over there. But, it's a great day here at the Broad Bowl.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait, man. I'll see everybody up there. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
That's Matt Spiegel from 670 The Score. He's with Lawrence Holmes every afternoon from 2 to 6. He'll be here at the Broad Stop. Can't wait to see him later this afternoon.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.